Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM, working with the American farmer, creating products from his crops, creating markets for crops. ADM, resourceful by nature.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's March the 6th, 2006. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing in Normal, Illinois. And later this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Well, in agricultural news, the U.S. House of Representatives is debating national standards for food safety. The EU wants the WTO to sanction the U.S. again. And the U.S. Secretary of Agriculture is speaking out against extending the 2002 Farm Bill and for, relatively speaking, updating the lock and dam system on the Upper Mississippi and Illinois River. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories later in this half hour. Now, tomorrow is the big day. It's in Covington, Indiana. We hope to see you at 7:30 a.m. or thereabouts Central Time to help kick off our all-day Ag Outlook meeting. All three of the analysts you'll hear today are on portions of that event, including Mark Russo, who should join us just after the bottom of the hour from Chesapeake Energy in Chicago to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast. It all happens right here on this Monday edition of AM 580's Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com.
In Chicago on this Monday afternoon, futures finished in the wheat pit like this. The nearby contract in the March at 370, off 3.5 cents. May wheat at 380, down a nickel today. March wheat in Kansas City off 7.25 at 435.75. From the corn pit from Chicago, March contract 223 off 5.75 today. May futures down 6.75 at 232.75. And July corn at $2.43 off 6.25. December futures at 259.5. They were off 6 cents for the day. Soy complex now nearby March beans at 587, down 6.25. The May futures off 5.5 cents at $6.50. And July at 611.5, down 5.75. November soybeans 622.5. They were off a nickel today. And the March bean meal at 173.90, down 120. March bean oil 24.45. They were down 11 cents for the day. From the Mercantile Exchange, March feeder cattle off 37.5 cents at 105.95. April live cattle at 85.70 were down 32.5 cents. And the April lean hogs were down $1.22.5 at $60.77.5 for the day. Hey, reminder that tomorrow morning, starting at about 7:30 a.m. Central Time, we expect to see you at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. You're invited to come over for the AM 580 All Day Ag Outlook meeting. It kicks off right at 8 o'clock Central, 9 o'clock in the Eastern Time Zone, but you can come over and register in the morning. You don't have to be pre-registered. This meeting is absolutely free with the exception of the meal at the noon hour. And even then, you can find other places to go if you'd like. If you'd like to stay with us for the noon meal, it's $8.50. And, of course, it's from the Beef House, so it should be very, very good. We hope to see you tomorrow at 7:30 for our registration. Things kick off when Jay Pierce, the radio station manager, starts us up. Right at 8 o'clock Central Time, our cash grain panel includes Brian Maple, Bill Mayer, Greg Johnson, and Kay Whitlock. We have an ethanol panel with Randy Matheny, who's the treasurer at Lincoln Land Agri-Energy. That's down in Palestine. Raymond Deffenbaugh from Big River Resources over in West Burlington, Iowa, will be with us. And Mary Holmes, who's a relationship manager at Agribusiness Solutions. She's out of Peoria, Illinois. Those are all ethanol production facilities. We'll talk about ethanol. That's during the morning sessions. The Farm Bill during the morning as well. Bob Thompson and Otto Doring, both professors of Ag Econ, one from the U of I. That's Thompson, and Doring from Purdue, to talk about the Farm Bill. And nothing more important than that, as you'll hear a little bit later in the news segment today, from Dave Dickey, the Secretary of Ag, already starting to talk about not trying to extend the current farm bill, but changing it. And those two guys will help you to determine what those changes might mean and how the WTO is playing into that. We'll talk about the ag weather with Mark Russo and Ed Kieser. And in the afternoon, Mike Zuzulo, Paul Cooley, Pete Manhart, and Clayton Pope and myself will take up the commodities for corn. And in the morning, Dave Dickey will host the panel with Vince Reinecke, Dan Zwicker, Wayne Nelson, and our own Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois. And Kurt is on the line with us now to tell us why the devil the marketplace managed to drop corn 5 to 6 cents, even as low as 7 cents today. Hi, Kurt. How you doing this afternoon?
We're hanging in there for a down day. Thank you.
Ugly day. Ugly day. Usually you get a pretty good day on Mondays, but that's not the case today, really, in the corn pit, is it?
It's kind of scary because oftentimes you get in these trends that you could be stuck in for a while. I had the honor of enjoying about 6 months of higher Mondays there for a while, but hopefully this is not the sign we're going the other way. But basically, the corn market found victim to commodity fund selling. The early estimates are about 12,000 contracts on the day. I have a feeling that's probably going to escalate here as this afternoon goes on. But basically, we moved below the previous week's low, and that tripped quite a few sell programs. When it's all said and done, I think the big picture of insiders are going to tell you that basically what we're seeing is these funds position themselves ahead of time. Usually the media picks up on in-the-month position squaring, but that we're finding there's a lot more activity in the first week or two of the month versus the last. But there could be big activity from the funds this month because we've got to remember quarterly reports and the quarterly performances are going to be out. And so we'll see some positioning ahead of that. But negative news-wise, basically looking at a chance of some rain here in the Central Belt. The Eastern Plains has a shot at some moisture, too. And so we sort of lost our fundamental spark here for a day or two, probably.
When you look at the numbers, are you thinking that this is liquidation, or are they taking a new position in the marketplace?
I would say when it's all said and done, tomorrow morning's volume and over interest, she's probably going to show some liquidation time.
Yeah, and that's better than taking a new position at this point, isn't it?
Well, you don't want to see the market down hard and open interest goes up, because you're correct. That would indicate new short positions in the marketplace, and that would be a bearish sign. Got to remember, too, we're not looking at record long positions, but we're looking at the net positions of 162,000 contracts long, and they're already loaded up to the long side in here. So let's do to back and fill. If you look at a chart, though, like the May futures, for example, we've got a nice uptrend channel going upward here. Even though we did penetrate last week's lows, we are, if you draw a trend line up, we're still within that channel. Now, a move below this 230, 229 area, that could set the stage for a more serious correction.
Yeah, but also, if you're going to do the tech side, we had everything gapped down today, too.
If you look at the day charts, yes, we do have a gap there, and I'm not much of a gap person, but yeah, there's ideas that you can measure off that. Then, too, there's a crowd that goes, you can go back and fill the gap at some time, too.
And turn your attention to the soy complex and tell me about that marketplace for the day.
Well, technically speaking, we virtually went down to the 62% retracement levels. If you take the recent high and the recent low here, over the last week, per se, we had a nice retracement back down. The bean market opened lower on favorable weather in the southern hemisphere. Also, too, bird flu. And also, we saw maybe a little concern that last week that may this follow through, too, that some of these cargoes of grain might have to be certified bird flu free, because as you know, birds do mess around with grain and they could contaminate some grain in some areas, but that's a long shot to talk about. But basically, we held the retracement level. Probably the more solid news event was rumors of Argentine and Brazilian beans that China bought being transferred or converted to U.S. sales here in the near term due to logistics problems, loading problems. And so that gave the market some fundamental confidence to hold the 62% retracement and get a recovery bounce here. If we can hold the last gains of the day through the night session here, the market could be in position to see sort of a turnaround contrary Tuesday.
We heard out of Minnesota that the Mississippi, the upper portion of the Mississippi, probably opening up. I didn't check to see whether that had actually happened or not, but that should be good for the basis levels?
As long as demand's there, but yes, as long as the transportation system opens and there's a market for it, we should start to flow the grain south. But we need to continue to see demand pick up. Exports inspections report, we did ship out 25.5 million bushels of beans. On shipments, we're about 60 million bushels behind last year's. The total of sales is still struggling, but the shipments are good enough here that hopefully we can pick that up here as spring rapidly approaches.
As we rallied higher in the corn pit, and I think the beans too, you were advising that some sales be made. Where do you stand at this point?
Well, on old crop, we're at this 80% level. We won't recommend to sell out for guys just strictly cash. You know, everybody's a little bit different.
Sure.
For more aggressive guys, you could probably bump sales up fairly aggressive. The idea we'll have a correction here, reown it on paper. There's several unique option strategies you're going to look at to get you into the marketplace. As far as new crop, we're 30% sold across the board and through here, especially on corn. You go back to a year ago levels, about the highest we saw the December 5 futures trades is 272, 273 area. It only spent about 4 days once you got past the winter and the spring above this 256 area. So we view this 260, 265 as fair value, at least to get the 30% sold on forward contracted, hedge drive or put options or something. Because as time goes on through here, there's a lot of seasonal studies and a lot of technicians looking at this March 11th through the 20th as a topping time window.
I was taking a look at the outside markets and the Merck and the midday updates across the board on my screen. I see red everywhere. That's a bit unusual where we have everything down in one day.
Only thing I saw up today was the dollar index and sugar. But, yeah, crude oil down over a buck 20, gold down $11, silver got hit hard by about 20 cents. You had to look awful hard for a plus sign.
Give me some numbers from the Mercantile Exchange.
Yeah, Mercantile just sloppy in through here. You know, cattle futures basically lower of anywhere from 10 to 40 cents. The hog complex 20 to cents to a dollar lower. Looking at the fund selling who pushed the market lower, sort of waiting on some cash trade in through here. There's a lot of talk of 88, but Packers are trying to bid 86 to try to buy them a little bit cheaper. Same thing in type of the in the hog complex, better than expected cash tone, but the fund sort of took over and sort of pressured the market. The big debate here is we get into Easter ham demand, see how that folds. We go into the middle of the month.
Hey, you got anything big planned for tomorrow when you come over to the all-day Ag Outlook meeting in Covington?
Oh, boy, going to be there bright and early to get a cup of coffee and one of those good old sweet rolls before everybody gets there.
Yeah.
And just enjoy coming over and visiting with everybody. That's sort of the highlight meeting of the whole year is being at the Beef House there.
Oh, thanks much. We appreciate it, and we sure look forward to seeing you tomorrow.
Very good.
Kurt Kimmel is with Grainfield Marketing. He's out of Normal, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens when? On Monday afternoons. And, of course, on Monday mornings as well on the Opening Market Report when he talks to Dave Dickey. I like to say that if you listen to Dave and I both in the day, in the morning, in the afternoon, you get a couple of different views on the marketplace. Dave tends to ask a number of questions that are pretty pointed on the day trade. I tend to be much more of a hedger. So if you're listening for both of those things, you can hear these guys answer questions from both sides of that aisle. And it makes, in my opinion, this one of the best programming content on the air. And we hope you think so, too. Be sure to join us tomorrow morning. You can tell us whether you think that's the case or not when we're at the Beef House. That starts at 7:30 a.m. Central Time with registration. We kick off the meeting at 8 o'clock Central Time, 9 o'clock in the Eastern Time Zone. Goes all afternoon to about 2:30 Central to 3:30 in the Eastern Time Zone. So there's an hour difference, of course. But we'll be done about 2:35, 3 o'clock. We'll wrap that day up, by the way, with a discussion with Gary Schnittke of the Farm Doc team here at the University of Illinois, ag economist. He had finalized the crop insurance numbers, dropped in what USDA kicked out on Friday. That was, 259, I think, for corn and 618 for soybeans. And he has some recommendations, and will take you through with crop insurance and how to use the FarmDoc website to help you make those decisions. That's all tomorrow. If you can't make it to the All-Day Ag Outlook meeting, we've done an interview with Gary. That's up on our website. You can click on it and listen to it already. It's there, and it's available today. I sent out a PDF file from Gary earlier today to everybody who subscribed to our newsletter. That has his PowerPoint presentation in it that he will give tomorrow. And then tomorrow afternoon, while he's in the midst of giving that presentation from about 2 o'clock to 2:35, which is the same time this program airs, he'll be talking to me on the air here. That interview will be on tape, of course, and you can hear the whole 11-minute segment right here on the Closing Market Report. So those are some things that are coming up. We'd like to have you over at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. We know that not everybody can make it. If you can't, come over and visit us in Covington.
Safety, a division of Carle Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
Well, at the bottom of the hour, a meteorologist from Chesapeake Energy in Chicago will join us for a look at the agricultural weather. AM 580 Zone Ed Kieser forecast looks like this for tonight. He says, gradual clearing from west to east. The lows will range from 18 in northern Indiana to 32 in the far southern part of Illinois. Tomorrow, Ed says, in western Illinois, increasing cloudiness elsewhere, mostly sunny. Highs tomorrow from 40 in northeastern Indiana to 55 in the far southern part of Illinois. A perfect day to travel to the Beef House in Covington, Indiana for our all-day agricultural outlook meeting. Dave Dickey and I will both be on hand with many of our analysts. We're encouraging you to join us for that free event. Registration starts at 7:30 Central Time. Dave will be here in just a moment with a look at today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, the House this week will continue debate on a federal food labeling bill that would give the Food and Drug Administration authority to establish national standards for food safety, including labels that advise consumers on potentially harmful ingredients. The measure would also deny states the authority to establish food standards that differ from the FDA standards or to impose a standard that is not addressed by FDA. The European Union has asked the World Trade Organization to convene a special meeting to address the issue of whether the EU can reimpose retaliatory tariffs of up to $4 billion on U.S. imports. If approved, the tariffs could total $300 million per year. If the WTO approves the plan to impose 14% tariffs on selected U.S. products, the EU could begin collecting the duties after 60 days or as early as mid-May. Products affected by the tariffs include various agricultural and wood products, as well as textiles, apparel and footwear, and a range of iron, steel, and aluminum products. USDA Secretary Mike Johanns told corn and soybean growers on Friday he is concerned about proposals to extend the 2002 Farm Bill and that he believes the Farm Bill needs to be rewritten in 2007 to make it predictable, equitable, and beyond challenge in the World Trade Organization.
Because you represent program crops, I ask you in particular to consider whether the time has come to ensure farm policy is predictable, equitable, and beyond challenge. I ask you to consider these issues, and I look forward to discussing with you throughout the months ahead the best course for our future in American agriculture. I will share with you, I will go to my grave arguing that federal investment in agriculture is a very wise, thoughtful investment. How we do it is the critical issue.
And on Friday, Johanns made it clear the Bush administration would not actively oppose the Water Resources Development Act.
While I don't make it a habit usually to talk about other departments' budgets, I am aware that the President's budget for the Army Corps of Engineers includes funds for lock and dam maintenance activities, work that just needs to be done periodically. I can also tell you that the administration is working with Congress, and we are not opposing their efforts on the front relative to the Mississippi or the Missouri.
At a breakfast meeting with corn and soybean leaders, Joe Hans also hinted the Bush administration may call for an end to the marketing loan program for crops because so many are opposed to it in the WTO. And the European Commission on Friday authorized the use in food products of a strain of genetically modified maize designed to resist the European corn borer. That ended months of wrangling. Imports into the EU of the 1507 strain and its use in animal feed were approved last November. Friday's decision means the corn can be now used in all food. The seeds producers, Pioneer and Dow AgroSciences, want Brussels to go one step further and allow farmers to sow and cultivate the corn in Europe. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Agricultural information on AM 580 is made possible with support from Lincoln Land Agri Energy in Palestine, Illinois, producing a renewable fuel with corn bought directly from the farmer. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at LincolnLandAgriEnergy.com.
I'm Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. You're listening to the Closing Market Report, of course, joined now by Greg Johnson of the Andersons here in Champaign County to take a look at the cash grain market. Good afternoon to you, Greg.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Looking forward to seeing you tomorrow morning for the cash grain panel over at the All Day Ag Outlook meeting. You and Brian Maple, Bill Mayer, and Kate Whitlock on that panel. Should be a good one to discuss what's happening in the cash grain market.
Usually at that time of year, we always say sell on rallies, but we're getting the rally now, so it'll be interesting to see if we continue to say the same thing or if we actually encourage people to pull the trigger on this rally.
Yeah, and did you do that there at the Andersons in the last week and a half?
I have to give the farmers credit. They've done a very good job of selling into this rally, both old crop and new crop, but primarily corn. I would have preferred to see a little bit more bean sales made, and we didn't really see that, but maybe they'll get another chance here to sell them over $6, but they've done a very good job of selling corn on this rally in the last 2 to 3 weeks.
Just prior to Commodity Week, we were talking off the air, often on the air, so to some extent. We do a program called After the Bell occasionally. When I leave the microphones on, and this one happened to be before we ran Commodity Week, and caught the guys talking a little bit about the cash grain market and the idea that, of course, this fall, it's highly unlikely that the LDPs will be nearly as large as they were last fall. What's your view on that one?
Yes, last year everything caught a lot of people by surprise with the holding on to old crop corn for fear of a bad crop, and then Hurricane Katrina, you know, devastating the Gulf with no export business there. This year, a lot more storage has been built. Farmers are not going to get caught. Elevators are not going to get caught in that same situation. So there's a lot more space out there. So we shouldn't see basis levels get near as cheap as they did in the fall. But the flip side of that is the funds have ran this futures price up a whole lot more, and so the cash basis nearby is not near as good. So there is carry in the market. I was just looking a year ago today. December futures were 235. Over the weekend, they were 265. So the futures price is 30 cents higher than we were a year ago, even though we've got a $2.4 billion carryout this year and only had a $2.1 billion carryout last year. So the basis is going to be weaker, but I tell farmers, don't look at just the basis. Look at the combination of futures and basis, and these are much better flat price levels than what we've had in years past.
Speaking of prices, what are your bids for the day?
Cash corn finishes at 218, down 6. New crop corn is 239. Cash beans are 580, down 6. New beans, 601. And cash wheat is 357. New wheat is 371.
Greg, we look forward to seeing you tomorrow morning.
Thanks, Todd.
Yeah, Greg Johnson is with the Andersons. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on Monday afternoons. By the way, if you want to hear that After the Bell segment, the only way to do that is to subscribe to our newsletter that runs on the weekends. That segment does not appear on the website, doesn't air here on the station, only available through the subscription form to our newsletter. Of course, that newsletter is easy to get to, and it's free, WILLAG.org, and just hit subscribe to the newsletter.
Cultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 85 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. Classes will resume tomorrow at Champaign's Centennial High School after a fire this morning caused the school building to be evacuated. School officials say there were no injuries and the fire was contained, but that smoke spread through the building. Champaign fire investigators were at Centennial High School today looking into the fire's cause. A federal prosecutor says George Ryan presided over a dozen years of payoffs and fundraising abuses so widespread that the former Illinois governor, quote, might as well have put up a for sale sign over his office. Assistant U.S. Attorney Joel Levin delivered a blistering summation of the case against Ryan as closing arguments began at his racketeering and fraud trial in Chicago. Bickering interrupted the closings today when attorneys ignored a warning from the judge to keep objections to a minimum to avoid distracting the jurors. GOP gubernatorial candidate Bill Brady wants his fellow challengers to agree to a debate to clear the air on ethics issues raised by the campaigns. Brady says innuendos, half-truths, and barbs back and forth have reduced the campaign to, quote, childish whining. Brady says he wants the Republican candidates to address ethical issues like adults in a debate put on by the news media and televised statewide. The state senator from Bloomington says he has not talked to the other candidates about whether they would participate. The U.S. Supreme Court won't hear a case that involves whether an Illinois Supreme Court justice improperly voted to throw out a billion-dollar judgment against State Farm Insurance. The court today took a pass on the case, which centers around Justice Lloyd Carmeier, who accepted campaign donations from State Farm lawyers and executives. Funeral services were held today for an Army sergeant from Indiana who was killed in Iraq. Hundreds of veterans joined mourners at a Kokomo church to honor Sergeant Ricky Jones. He was 21 when he died last month. A church group that has used military services as an occasion to protest against homosexuality failed to show at the funeral. The group's attorney says they decided not to protest after hearing suggestions they might be behind vandalism at the soldier's home. Governor Mitch Daniels cited the planned protest as one of the reasons he quickly signed a bill into law that makes disorderly conduct within 500 feet of a funeral a felony in Indiana. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on WILL. We're joined now by Mark Russo of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois, to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Good afternoon to you, Mark.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Should be an easy drive down to Covington, Indiana for you tomorrow.
Yeah, looking forward to the drive here. And, yeah, my forecast for the drive down looks pretty good at this time. So no weather issues this year.
I'm sure that John Davis, who works for you, had warned you that oftentimes when we had him down previous, that it was not a pretty day to come down to Covington.
Well, that's the reason you asked me this.
Yeah, it seems to me that there was a year that he didn't make it in because there was a snowstorm on that day, too. I don't recall for sure, but that's been more than a decade ago. So it's been this particular program's been around a long time, and it's your first time to come and join us. We're looking forward to having you and Ed Kieser on in the afternoon to talk about the weather. It should be a lot of fun. Speaking of weather, tell me about weather for tomorrow, as people will be coming in for that all-day Ag Outlook meeting in Covington.
Well, you know, we are seeing temperatures here on the rise across much of Illinois after our little cool shot and then our snow here over the past couple of days, especially up north. But for tomorrow, expect high temperatures, dry conditions, obviously. Might be a little bit of some morning fog in some areas, but temperatures warming up and should be in the low to mid-40s here as we go to our meeting here tomorrow.
Excellent. And then as you look around the Midwest or to the Southwest, what do you see that strikes fear into your heart, if anything?
Well, we continue to be very concerned about precip in the Southern Plains. Now, the pattern is somewhat on the active side, as you do see systems move from the Rockies into the plains. However, they produce very little rain and snow across the western portion of the plains and really do their thing across the eastern portion of the plains as well as in the Midwest. So dry conditions across the bulk of the hard red belt, especially the heart of the belt in the western plains, with your only pre-appearing places such as eastern Kansas, far eastern Oklahoma, and then the Midwest really does well with this pattern here, and any kind of moving on to some corn and bean planting here, possibly more so as we look toward corn planting here starting up in April. Certainly, we should have a good soil moisture base here after the next couple weeks of pretty wet weather.
All right. We appreciate it, and we look forward to seeing you tomorrow.
All right, Todd. And see you tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Mark Russo joins us here on the Closing Market Report. He's with Chesapeake Energy. He'll join us tomorrow at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana, for our all-day Ag Outlook meeting. That, of course, is absolutely free. We expect to see you there around 7:30 a.m. Central Time for registration. Coffee and rolls available. We'll kick off the meeting right at 8 o'clock Central, 9 o'clock in the Eastern Time Zone at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. That's just off Exit 4 on I-74, just to the west of the Illinois-Indiana state line. And that is today's Closing Market Report. Join us tomorrow at 8:49 for our pre-opening market report on the radio if you can't get over to the Beef House. And remember, you can hear the futures analysis, the cash grain report, and the weather right there on the web. Just go to WILLAG.org. I'm Todd Gleason.